desire your prayers this morning. Been really seeking the Lord to give the message of the hour, and He didn't do it until this morning. But He's always faithful. He has been always faithful. I can testify to His faithfulness. Well, our last message that we had when we had service here had to do with some crosses. The title of it was Not Lowering the Bar. Maybe that was another message. They're all mixed up now. But the message this morning, the title will be The Cross of Choice. And probably you might think, oh, are we going to hear another message about choosing and choices? Well, yes, we are. I looked online and counted how many messages are just online about choices. And there were 101 recorded. There's probably been many, many, many others that were never recorded from past generations. So today will be 102. We're going to add it to it, Lord willing. So probably we might even think of the subject this morning and say, well, you know, I think everything's been said that could possibly be said about choosing and choices. Well, we may feel that way, and it may be so. But I believe the Lord has a reason for continuing to remind us, and I'm going to say of the age that we're living. A synonym for choice is preference. We might not just think of my choice as being my preference, but that's what it is. I am counting this thing that I choose as being more valuable than something that I have rejected. So it becomes my preference. I like it best. I like it better than my other choices. I believe that as we make our preferences, that we consider and we weigh the facts and we compare, and I believe then we make a choice. Sometimes we will even say, I'm making a choice that I can live with. It will be very important for you and me to make choices that we can die with. Even more than what we can live with. Because it is the end of a thing that is most important. And that's one of the reasons that we often hear when we go to a funeral that it's better to go to the house of mourning. It's a reminder. We constantly, as human beings of the earth, need to be reminded. We're not going to live forever. We're everyone getting older every day. And we everyone have an appointment. Oh, we don't really like to be reminded so much of our appointments, but I'll tell you what, we need to be reminded in the age we're living right now. I think we're going to, by the help of the Lord, be able to bring out some thoughts that will identify where we are in this age. I think that this is the age of the greatest time for choices that's ever been. I know it is. It came to my mind that we are in the smorgasbord age. You know what a smorgasbord is? It was in my generation that buffets came into existence. All you can eat. All you can possibly want. Whatever your taste buds wanted, it was offered. That's my generation. My parents' generation, maybe at the end of their life, they had been introduced to the buffets, but it wasn't common. It was not a common thing to go and fill your plate with every delightful appetite. But that's this age. That's where we are. I was thinking, I don't know about you, but you know the most fascinating age of history for me is the pioneer age. I love pioneer stories. And in my searching through all of the books out in the garage, I came across a couple of books that my mother had given to me, and it was put out by Capper's Weekly. Those older ones here might remember that, but the title of it was My Parents Came in a Covered Wagon. And so it's just short little stories of true stories of happenings of that part of the history of our nation. And I enjoy that. I suppose that if I had had the ability or the privilege to choose an age to live, it would be that age. But if I lived then, I would not know about all of the conveniences. I wouldn't know about air conditioning. I wouldn't know about running to the grocery store and getting what I wanted. I wouldn't know any of those things. So I would miss it. But the pioneer age was probably one of the most simple times of our history. They had a saying that you either used it up or wore it out or did without. You know, you didn't just run and get and replace things. And so I'm thinking a little bit about the Little House on the Prairie's stories. And I'm sure that most of you have maybe read the whole series from time to time. And when I did, a number of years ago, it's been many years since I've read it, but you don't forget it very. It's just, life was so simple, you just didn't have very many choices. You might have two or three dresses. You might have one pair of shoes. You didn't have to decide what color, or you just wore what you had. And it was the same with their food. Their food was just simple fare. It was biscuits, and it was cornbread and gravy and whatever they might have in their garden at the time. But they did not have the big choices that you and I have today, where suddenly you're hungry for this and let's go get that. It was just not a part of that time. So choices were very simple in that time, but I noticed something in those books, and it came back to me this morning because I haven't read them in many years, but I distinctly remember the time when the little prairie towns would spring up, and they would have build their schools. They became more social. I remember the first time I read in Little House on the Prairie that in the town where they were living, they had a literary society. Probably a new word that was introduced to the pioneers, never even probably thought of it, because they lived so frugally and so simply and didn't make a lot of choices. They didn't have a lot of knowledge. As they went to the schools and as they began to develop in their knowledge and their understanding, it awakened some choices in their life. And they wanted more social interaction with people. And it became that. It became also barn dances. And gravitated to that choice and thought nothing of it. They didn't have a conscience on barn dances but little by little, I saw in the book that there were seeds that were planted even that far back. And we're reaping the fruit of those seeds today in an abundance. Yes. You and I can't even hardly imagine living as the pioneers did. I mean, I may be fascinated with it, like to read about it and things like that, but we really can't fathom the simplicity to the extent that it really was and the amount of choices that people made. So I have said in the past, you've heard me, those that's been in the congregation a long time, you've heard me say that if I had a bandwagon, it was warning the people of the entertainments of the world. To a big degree, I've sort of gotten away from it. I'm not as conscious of it, maybe, or anyway. We talked about worldly entertainment. Is that still a message for today? Absolutely. And more so, should be more so than even 20, 30 years ago. Things have definitely changed. I remember a number of years ago taking my school children here in our school. There was a historical museum at the Capitol, and in one of the rooms, it had the history of the development of the television. And I was very fascinated with that, because that happened in my generation. And I remembered the very first time I ever saw a television. And it wasn't, it was about that big. It was round. And it was black and white. And it was, most of the time it was so fuzzy you couldn't tell what was on the picture. But people were glued to it. Including me. Fascinated. It awakened something. And it's awakening more people in a greater degree than ever before. Well, I went through that that little museum, and you saw the development until it came to the place that it was color television and bigger screens, maybe like this. What's the size of the screens now? They're I can't even tell you how big they are, because they can cover a whole wall, and people are going after the bigger, the better. And, but did you know it didn't start with television? It started with old time radio. And the Lord revealed it to me. The seeds for the television started with radio. Some of you that are too young really to remember this, but us that are older, we heard preaching against the radio. And you might say, well, what about it? You listen to the radio now. We do. But there was a danger, and the ministry saw the danger and warned the people about it. And you couldn't have a vision of where it was leading to. You couldn't even imagine. Even in my youth, there was nothing that indicated we would be where we are today. We had no idea. So the old time radio, it became the seeds, but it also sent out an underlying message to our whole nation, and our nation ate of it and drank of it, and we have the end result. Not the end yet, but we have the result of it. A number of years ago, KTOK was, and listen, I'm still going to talk about the cross of choice. I'm just laying a foundation. But a number of years ago, KTOK on Sunday night played old time radio programs. You think it's so simple and so childlike and so innocent. You think there's nothing wrong with it. I did. And so Lauren was working on Sunday nights, and I would go home from church, and I would turn out the lights, get up in my bed, and turn on old-time radio, and I would listen to it till I went to sleep. And then one night, the Lord opened my eyes. And the story with which he opened my eyes was about this family. It sounded very innocent. It was on a Sunday morning, and the father was asleep. It was the only, this is the message, the underlying message was, this is the only day of the week that his dad could sleep in. And the son wanted the car, couldn't start the car because it would awaken his father, wanted to go play tennis on Sunday morning. What message was sent out to the United States? Number one, it was okay to sleep in. It was okay not to go to church. It was okay to go and play tennis on Sunday morning. And that's what the Lord, it was just like the Lord pulled back the curtain, and in my mind I was able to see the seeds of old time radio, how it developed, planted, produced fruit, and ultimately cultivated into a television of entertainment. Fleshly entertainment. The television is a very attractive tool. It can draw the eyes of an infant. I know, because I have a great niece that when she was an infant, was not allowed to watch television at all, had never had it turned on in front of her, and then she was sick in the hospital, and the only way they could calm her was to have the television on, and her eyes were glued, and she didn't even know what she was watching. There's a power in it that appeals to our flesh. So, I'm thinking how that today there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of choices offered to you today in the world of entertainment. Do you know what the word entertain means? It means being held from within. Something that has captivated your attention and it holds you in your flesh, in your mind. So we are of that smorgasbord age. We have more choices to make today than we ever dreamed possible. You will never be able to make all of the choices to satisfy anything about your life. Can't make them all at all in one day or in a year. You know, have you ever heard people say, it's my basket list or my bucket list? No, they called it a bucket list. Anybody here ever have a bucket list?
Yes.
Things that you hope to do in your life or you would like to do. Maybe sometime in the future. Sometimes it never happens. But I think that in every category, every imaginable preference, see, that goes back to the word I prefer. I have a preference. I have a choice to make. Today, it can be fully indulged. And that's serious. And I think that we were just about like a frog that they put in the water and they turn on the heat and he just slowly succumbs. That's how you and I have been and are. We're in this world. We're not to be of this world. The scriptures plainly tell us that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And we have to be reminded of that because I am encompassed about with many choices that I can make every day that appear innocent, that appear legal. I'm thinking how that, we have heard, I remember when they started preaching about the internet, the computers. I remember when, there were discussions among the ministers and people saying, well, I have to have it for my business. And they agreed, you do have to have it for your business. And then it started coming out that, well, you can get television on the internet. You don't even have to have a television now, literally. And by the way, let me tell you how the television did when I was a girl. You had to have an outside antenna. It was stuck up on your roof. And everybody in the neighborhood knew when you got one. And my parents wanted to have a television and they said we would get a television if we didn't have to have an antenna. Well, guess what? The devil knew how to invent rabbit ears. Rabbit eared antennas set on top of the television and did just as well as the one that was outside the house. And you could have a television and nobody would know it from the outside. And we did. I grew up with a television. I know what I'm talking about. I was addicted to television. And my parents allowed it. I mean, they would watch the news and go on to bed and they'd let me move the little television into my bedroom and I'd watch it till it went off at 12:30. Now it's on 24/7. Do you see what the enemy had in mind? Choices. Preferences. I prefer this to something else. But now, we not only have the internet that absolutely is limitless in research, we have iPhones that are miniature computers, have incredible possibilities. But it's all a matter of choice. It comes down to choosing. So when we think of a cross of choice, does that mean there's greater sacrifice? I believe there's greater sacrifice. There has to be. I believe, and we have discussed this. We know that the only way is to crucify the flesh. It's the only way. And you will not be able to go backward into another age. And I mean, we have the Amish that have chosen to not have electricity, to not drive cars, to not do certain things. They chose an age to be locked into. You and I can't do that. We cannot go back. We are in this age. And you have to know and understand the age you're in order to know how to, what shall I say? I had a little statement that I wrote down. Don't see it. The statement had to do of not living close to the world. I know I wrote it down. Just a moment. It's just too important for me to find it. Here's the question. Does your life intersect closely with the world? You know what an intersection is? You know, we drive down the road and we come to an intersection and it's another road going another way. And we make a choice if we're going to turn or go straight. Spiritually, if we're living too close to the world at these intersections, we can be drawn into the intersection or the bypath or the byway. We can make a choice and leave the straight and narrow way. We can do that. And I'm thinking also about how that the devil, I mean, I just got a picture of this in my mind. I believe that Satan and his angels are just having a hee-haw when they know that we're going to sing certain songs. You know what song I'm thinking? What about this song? My flesh recoiled before the cross, and Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. And when you sing it, they're just laughing up their sleeves. They've got so many choices out here to draw your attention to something else. They know that if you do happen to say, no, his yoke is easy, they'll just wait for the next time. That's what we're in. That's the age that we're in. And I want to say, how long can we halt between two opinions? Because you can't have two opinions forever. You've got to have an opinion and stand by it, a choice. You've got to have the cross of choice, making the right choice. And here's that other statement I had. How can we stop living between two worlds? Have you ever asked yourself that yourself? How can I stop living between this choice and this choice and this preference. And I'm telling you, the only way is to take up your cross of choice. There's another song, and I made a statement when I was preaching on the songs, on the crosses, that there are very few scriptures that talk about the cross. Jesus said it many, he said it more than anyone else, take up thy cross and follow me and all of that. We know those scriptures, but there's very few. But songwriters have experienced crosses and they wrote about it. And so we can sing the songs in our book and we can understand something about taking up my cross. And one of the songs is number 248, and it says, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. And a portion of that verse also says, perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. I want to tell you that until we come to the place that we say that from the heart, perish every fond ambition, everything that I've hoped for that was fleshly, everything that I've known that was fleshly, that was drawing me away and away from the spiritual to the earthly. And today we have so many offerings of choices that we can make. And in the midst of it all, there is a spirit that works to blind our eyes and deceive us and to cause us to believe a lie about ourselves, because Satan wants us to be very contented in feeding our flesh. It's part of his job. But at the same time, he's laughing at us when we are trying to make a choice. Because he knows his purpose is, if I don't get them to make this choice now, I have time. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. Another song, 187, and it's verse 4, and it says, and he taught me that I must then be prostrate in the dust, that with him if I should reign, self within must all be slain. That is the cross of choice. Choosing the way of the cross. Choosing to turn my back on all things that would lead away from the cross. Cross of choice. And we have quoted this scripture in other messages, and it still stands for this message today too. It is Galatians 5 and 24. They that are Christ's have crucified or put to death the flesh with the affections and lust. Those are the choices that the whole world, you know, over in Revelations, where it speaks about the coming of the Lord and the end of time. How did it describe the age? It said that the saints would be encompassed about before the end. We are encompassed about with the world and all of its choices. And it's the entertainments. People are absolutely drunk on the entertainments of the world. And you and I must keep ourselves from that. In that same chapter, Galatians, the fifth chapter, back up 19 through 21, it lists the works of the flesh, those things that the flesh goes after. Do we still need to be reminded of those kind of things? Yes, because the choices are multiplied. You know, there's that song that says, my soul be on thy guard. And it says, this is another song I think that the devil just laughs when we sing it. Because it says, 10,000 foes arise. And it says, and a host of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. And guess when that song was written? 191 years ago. And they called it 10,000 then. What might we say it is today? 1,000,000? Would that justify the number of choices that I could make to choose to entertain my flesh? I would say quadruple the 1,000,000. And that's what we're compassed about. You have to keep yourself. You have to keep yourself in the love of God. You have to keep yourself in the grace of God. You have to see the dangers. You have to see the end of a thing. 191 years ago, and we're still singing it, and we're still calling it 10,000 foes. I hope the next time that you sing that song in your mind, you'll say 1,000,000. That the devil will not be able to really laugh at us, that we're only talking of 10,000. Cross of choice. Well, the works of the flesh, and I won't name them all, you know what they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Some of these you read and you say, oh, I would never get into witchcraft. That would never be a temptation for me to make a choice. Hatred. But what about drunkenness? Oh, I would never be drunk. I would just never do that. But we can be drunk on other things. Drunkenness, reveling. Reveling, what is reveling? It might pay us to find out what this means. Because then it says, and anything that is even like these things, that those will not enter into the kingdom of God. So the question is, does your life intersect closely with the world? And do you desire to be free from it? The Lord has the power. He wouldn't have put it in His word, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. He wouldn't have put that there if it wasn't true. I do not have to yield myself to live close to the world. Another scripture says that we choose. He says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. I'd like for us to sing number 300 in closing, and it's a familiar song, but I'm going to say it's the cross of choice. It's the result of choosing the cross. It has some special words in it, and sometimes, you know, we sing and we just sing because we remember the song, and we don't even have to look at the words. We just sing it by memory. And I love to sing by memory. And this particular song has spoken to me for many years. And actually, the song itself, I don't even like the tune. But there came a time that that song was my cross of choice. And I could raise my hand in song because it talks about the glory of the cross. If you cannot see the glory of your choice, of choosing the way of the cross for an end result in my life, you won't see the glory unless you have a vision of it. But as we sing this song, maybe there could just be a few of us sing. I don't know. But I would like for you to take your book and read every word as we close with this song. Because I really believe this is the answer for the cross of choice.
Christian name.